You know, I think Bruce Lee was the number one guy that I looked up to. I was doing what I love to do, and my focus was not on the present moment. Disappointment and failure are essential parts of us getting to where we want to go. It asks us a question. And I understood that, you know, really my toughest opponent was time. I had to manage my time properly and understand that there is a process. And failure, true failure, is when you stop trying to get your goal. True success is battling again, going through adversity, and achieving. That's the way things work.
Hi, and welcome to the 153rd episode of the I Love Success podcast. I just want to take a moment to say thank you for being part of our mission. Thank you for leading with the heart and having the courage to go out in the world and live a full life. Thank you for being kind, thank you for being open, and thank you for being you. I could never do this without you and all the incredible people that share so open-heartedly on the show. The journey continues, and as you know by now, our mission is to help at least 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams. My job is to listen, ask the right questions, and challenge the status quo. This week's guest is a former UFC fighter, three-time title contender, and the only UFC fighter ever to compete in four different weight divisions. Today we share the story of Kenny Florian, the man who transitioned from an ordinary to an extraordinary life in a world of passion and adventure as a fighter and martial artist. We talk open-heartedly about his greatest accomplishments as a fighter and a human being, and also share his setbacks, how he dealt with failure, and became better because of it. Let's welcome Kenny Florian. Welcome, Kenny.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, grateful to be here. As I said, I'm a lifelong martial artist. Always love to talk to people just like yourself. And one thing I just want to share, I remember like the first time I was selected to go to, it's called Paris Open. It's one of the biggest tournaments in the world for karate. And I thought I was good because I was the best in Sweden. And I went there, they kicked my ass like after 20, 30 seconds. And that like cut my confidence so much. But the worst, you know what the worst thing was for me is that everybody in my small town know that I was going there, and now I had to tell them that I sucked. Have you ever felt that? Like, oh my gosh. How did you overcome that?
Oh man, are you kidding? Yes, many times. I can go back to The Ultimate Fighter, where I was, you know, a guy who everyone said I shouldn't have been in the final anyway. I shouldn't have been in the finale anyway. I had the least amount of experience. I was the smallest guy there. Yeah. Everyone doubted me, and then I lost terribly in the finale, and everyone goes, see, this is what I was telling everybody. And I had to go back and face my family and face my friends and, you know, how'd you do? How'd it go? And I had to go tell them that I lost, and I lost in the first round. And not only that, you know, for me, I felt like I didn't even get a chance to fight. I lost to myself. That's what affected me so badly, was I let the moment overtake me. I let my nervousness take over. I let my all the external issues that aren't important take over. So for me, that's when I actually said, okay, I'm going to be a professional mixed martial arts fighter now. Yeah. I'm committed. I can't lose like that, because I lost to myself. And it is tough because, you know, again, there is some pride involved. I think to be a martial artist, to be who we want to be, there should be a certain amount of pride, because we do want to try hard, and we are trying to make it in this world and in whatever we're trying to do. So I think it's important. But when our ego gets too big, that's when we have to be careful as well. You know, I think disappointment and failure are essential parts of us getting to where we want to go. It asks us a question. Are you sure this is what you want to do? Well, if it is, you have to work harder. And a lot of times I would look back, I was talking about this the other day, you know, even now as a martial artist, I feel like, you know, at 43 years old, a 43-year-old Kenny Florian would destroy a 28-year-old Kenny Florian in his prime. Why? Because I'm more knowledgeable, I'm more wise, I'm more technical. I continue to hone my craft. And I would look back and I go, you know, I worked so hard for these 3-4 months before this fight. Why did I lose in the world championship? Why did this happen? I don't get it. I put in all the work. The reality is, it's not 4 months. It's not 7 years. It's not 10 years. It's not, you never know when your body and your mind and your technique unify to give you that performance where now you've come into your own. For everybody, it's different. And a lot of times we think, oh, I put in all this work. Eh, maybe it's not enough.
Yeah.
And I think that there's levels to this. And it's so important to just continue honing your craft and understand that it's a process of evolution and it's a process of progress. And maybe you get it in 3 years and I get it in 10. You know, everyone's different. And what we're working on as martial artists is always different too. So it's, that varies as well. And I think when we start comparing ourselves to others, we have to be careful as well. I'm an individual, you're an individual. What may work for you may not work for me. And our minds are different, our bodies are different, our instruction is different. So we have to analyze ourselves in isolation in a way and not compare so much, because when we compare, we get caught in that comparison and it can hold us back.
That's so hard though, right? Especially in the world when you're an MMA fighter or a boxer, because every fight counts, right? It's not like a soccer match. If you lose, you have one next week, right?
I say that all the time. You know, it's so tough. It's
so different. And you put everything on the line. And in that moment, I felt that too. Sometimes I've been at the warm-up. It feels like I ran a marathon, man.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's mine.
Yes.
And I'm so heavy and I can't do anything. I was like, fuck, I prepared for this and now I can't even do shit.
Yeah.
But at some point, you learn from that if you continue, right? Unfortunately, we see a lot of people quitting when that happens. Why do you think you continued, you know?
Oh, man. I think part of it was not running away from what I committed myself to, not running away from myself, not letting fear take over in my life anymore, and seeing it through and understand that it is a process. And I started mixed martial arts very late in my life. I think my first fight was in 2003. So I started in actual mixed martial arts in 2003 and, you know, retired in 2011. So it was 8 years as a pro, really. And, you know, nowadays kids are starting in mixed martial arts at 13, 14 years old. And, you know, I didn't start jiu-jitsu really, until I was 19. I stopped doing martial arts when I was like 11 or 12. Because soccer was taking up so much time and I was traveling all over the country and all over the world playing soccer, and I just didn't have the time. And, you know, I started up again at 19, 20 years old. 20 years old, jiu-jitsu. So I started pretty late.
Yeah.
And I understood that, you know, really my toughest opponent was time. I had to manage my time properly and understand that there is a process. And martial arts is such a difficult thing that there's so much to learn that it's not going to just be an overnight thing. This is going to take, you know, years and years of hard training.
Which it's so many people don't understand. And because becoming a martial artist and especially a mixed martial artist where you have so everything, skills, right? Yeah. It's so many skills. It's so many hours of work. And then you get in there and one punch can change everything, right?
Which
it's crazy. If this was the stock market, no one would recommend to bet on that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Which is crazy, but also makes it so incredible because we can all understand, you know, it's something amazing. I just want you for a moment to go back to, you're on a 6-fight winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the locker room. You're about to go into your first title fight.
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel? What are you thinking at this point in your life?
You know, I think I'm trying not to I'm trying not to think about being a world champion in a way.
Yeah.
I'm going over what I worked on. I'm going over what I can expect, what I can't expect. I'm trying to shut out the crowd. I'm trying to go inward a little bit and quiet my mind.
Yeah.
I'm trying to slow my heart rate down, and just be loose. But not too loose.
Yeah.
To be ready, but not tense.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bruce Lee talks about these things. And it's true. I mean, he was so far ahead of his time as far as his mind and his approach to martial arts. But managing that is not an easy thing. Especially you hear, you know, 16,000 fans in the background getting ready, and you hear, you know, the guy in the background going, "All right, Florian, you got 5 minutes, you're on deck." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, everyone, oh geez, here we go. Can I get 10 more minutes, please?" You know? So it's, you know, I my hands get sweaty just thinking about it. But you realize these are all things of the mind.
Yeah.
How do we take away the crowd? How do we take away the belt? How do I take away the referee? How do I take away everything and just focus on what's in front of me? And that's the thing of not getting too far ahead and staying in the moment and listening to your breath, going back to your breath and just calming your body down. And again,
did you manage to do that?
For the most part, you know, I think for that specific situation, I had gotten so excited for this fight that I had overtrained. I had put my body through hell too much, that I had peaked probably a month and a half before the fight happened. And a month and a half prior to the fight, I had the worst training of my life. I was talking about this the other day. You know, I had competed last weekend and I'm competing in another jiu-jitsu tournament this weekend. But I said, you know, if there is one thing to define my career, it's always that I'd say 80% of my competition experience involves me dealing with some kind of physical hurdle in some way, shape, or form. I would get sick, I would have an injury, I would have some kind of a cut, and it would always be something that I had to deal with. And I always would say, well, why is this? What's going on? And I realized that it was there to almost get me more focused and almost get me to, I don't know, get mentally stronger. You know, I think that's what I think I was destined to be a coach more than anything else. And I think that it's given me a much stronger mindset today than, you know, I had before. So I've been able to look back with a better perspective and understand that, you know, I had many more challenges, but it's adversity that makes us strong. It's adversity that makes us wise. It's all these hurdles. We cannot rise up without adversity, you know.
No, I totally agree with you. And I was talking about this on a hike this morning about, like, does success and happiness come hand in hand? And is it important to be number one, or what's really important? And I wanted to talk with you about this because you've been so close to being number one, but you've been number two,
yes.
Which means that's fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
How amazing is that, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But how did you see it? And do you think your life would have been different if you would have won one of those belts?
Wow, that's a lot. That's some interesting questions.
Yeah.
Very tough questions.
Yeah.
I think, man, I guess in regards to success and happiness, I don't think they go hand in hand all the time. And also, we also need to be careful in how we define those things, too.
Yeah.
What you define as success might be my definition, or,
yeah.
you know, what is happiness, or what I think. Having the ability to do what I did for a living, to truly, truly, truly love my job,
yeah.
is a gift. And that's a success story.
Yeah.
Candidly, Would I like to be number one? Would I have liked to have been the world champion as opposed to the second best in the world? 100%. I mean, that was my goal, truly. When I made that my goal, that's what I wanted to be. And I really felt that I could have achieved that, but I needed more time. I just needed a little bit more time. And I needed for my body to be healthier as well. I had a lot of injuries and stuff like that. But I think that I could also look at it and say, you know what? Maybe I didn't have the maturity. And if I became a world champion, I would have spent all my money and would have made $1 million and then screwed off or partied or I don't know, you know, who knows? I don't think so, but maybe that was my journey. And I think the other thing is accepting your journey and accepting what, you know, if you believe in, you know, whether it's God or the universe or whatever it is, accepting that this is your path and this is what it what you're meant for. But also believing and keep charging towards that goal. I think failure, true failure, is when you stop trying to get your goal. That's true failure. I think success is continuing to plug away towards that goal, but always making the proper adjustments and listening. Because sometimes, you know, we look at a certain failure and go, oh, that's it. I can't do it. I'm done. I've done everything. Have you done everything? Have you really done everything? Have you, did you work as smart as you could have? Did you work as hard as you could have? Did you really seek out the help that you needed? Did you go left when you should have gone right? You know, and I think a lot of times we like to blame others or put other situation, oh, I lost because, oh, the referee was terrible. And say, sometimes that's the case.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it isn't. And we want to put the blame on others instead of looking at ourselves and being honest with ourselves and going, okay, what did I really do? Let me look at this from an outside perspective. Let me step away from my performance or from my failure, take a couple days, and then look at it with a fresh pair of eyes and really analyze this and get feedback. Talk to other people. What did you think? Give me your honest feedback. What can I do better? And I think when you do that, you'll find that maybe you didn't do everything you could have. And I think that's what's so beautiful about the martial arts is that it never changes, right? You have this amazing roundhouse kick, but guess what? I figure it out. Yeah. Ah, now you have to figure something else out to get me or to fake, to then get the roundhouse kick. So martial arts, life, business, whatever it is, it's nonstop if we're doing it right. There is no end. It is constantly evolving. I say this to my students all the time, that martial arts is a living, breathing thing. And living, breathing things are constantly adapting and evolving. It's never there in this one spot and then, okay, it's safe. Yeah. This tree has grown. It's grown to full height. Now it's going to live like this forever. No, it's like, man, the sun goes away. It stops raining. There's always something that happens, right?
It's crazy. And like the samurai say, one day, one lifetime. You know, it can change like this. And one thing, Kenny, that I'm kind of contemplating, because this is episode 153. So I've talked to a lot of very successful people and my theory is coming to that number ones are not always the happiest. Usually the ones that are close to the top and don't take everything so serious that they will sacrifice time with family on a Saturday night to go to the gym. They might not be number one, but usually they get some type of success and also have a good life. Mm. Do you agree with that? Or like, what's your opinion about that?
I do agree with that because in some ways, for people who reach that number one spot or reach the top of the mountain, well, where do you go when you're at the top of the mountain?
Yeah.
You've achieved everything. Well, now it's time to relax or now it's time for me to just, I'm going to hang out there.
Yeah.
It's one thing to get to the top. It's another thing to stay at the top. And the way you stay at the top is through those number twos and number threes that are pushing.
Yeah.
Because that's what pushes you to keep going further and further and further and climb higher. Where in reality, a lot of people who reach that top spot, all of a sudden they disappear. You never see them again. You never hear about them. The business fails or they stop defending their belt or whatever the situation.
Yeah.
So I think the number twos, the number threes, they're going to find a way to keep climbing, to keep pursuing. And in a lot of ways, they can see further and they go, ah, I still need to go further. I still need to get there. I'm going to keep improving. I'm going to keep chasing. I'm going to keep grinding. I'm going to keep going to where I need to go. So I think that's an interesting point that you make. I think...
Because let's just look at GSP. Yeah. Like a guy that I love. Yes. And he had an amazing career, but... It seems like he battled a lot of demons, because to carry that backpack of winning, and I think if I would have been in his shoes, I would have wanted the same. I would have become obsessed, because I want to keep this, right?
Absolutely.
But it looks like it could take over you as a person too, right?
100%. And it does. Geez, maybe rightfully so. If you want it bad enough, you're going to have to make some sacrifices, and there are going to be some things that suffer in the process. Maybe you'll be an amazing martial artist, but maybe not such a great boyfriend, or maybe not such a great husband, or maybe not such a great father, or maybe not such a great friend, or maybe not such a great business owner. So we have to understand that with our goals, we do have to make a lot of sacrifices in a lot of different ways. And me trying to make 145 pounds, I'd probably sacrifice some years off of my life. I maybe sacrifice some friendships along the way, because I'm not going to go out and party. I'm not going to go out to the restaurant with you. I need to eat like this. I need to train like this. I need to wake up at a certain time. I need to go to sleep at a certain time. I don't have time to hang out and do fun stuff. This is my life. I have to do it. That's it. So... it's a balancing act, but this is what I mean. You have to know very specifically what you want in your life and what you're willing to do to get it, all the while having your morals intact.
So what do you do if you don't know what to do? Like, there's a lot of people say, hey, I want to do something cool in my life. I want to go after something, but I don't know what.
You know, I remember in the early 2000s, late 90s, being in Brazil, and I was on the beach. I was drinking a coconut water. It was perfect weather. I had just trained really hard. I'm sitting on the beach, beautiful women on the beach. I have this cold coconut water, fresh, and I said, man, imagine if I could just do this every single day. Because at the time, I had a full-time job. I was just there on vacation, but I was using it to train. And I said, well, what if I could make my life into this? And no one was really doing that. And I said, well, why can't I just do it? You know, there was no path in front of me, and I just eventually committed to doing it. I had this near-death experience in Brazil where I fell off a cliff. And, you know, to me, I was falling, it was probably like a 20-foot drop, which is a pretty decent drop. Yeah. And I fell on a ledge. If I didn't fall on that ledge, I would have fallen hundreds of feet. And as I was falling, I saw my whole life flash before my eyes. And I remember, man, this is how I'm going to die. This is so crazy. I'm going to die in a mountain in Brazil. And I never got a chance to do what I truly wanted to do. And I landed, and I was alive and all that stuff. And I remember contemplating everything. And I decided to leave my secure job and do my best to be a professional mixed martial artist. I didn't know if it was going to be as a fighter, but I said, this is what I love to do. I have to do it. You have to identify your passions. You have to identify what moves you. You have to identify what you love. The way the universe works, the way success works, is by finding what you love. If you are working and you are grinding and you are miserable, maybe you're not in the right thing. Now, it could be difficult. It could be tough. You could be suffering. But if you still love what you're doing, you're going to do that. You're going to do it with more of a smile on your face. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. No one guarantees easy. Success is never an easy path. It's rarely an easy path. Very few people are going to get that lottery ticket. And even then, who's to say that means you're successful or that's going to give you a new life? To me, true success is battling again, going through adversity, and achieving. That's the way things work. You think about getting stronger when someone lifts weights. I don't really lift a whole lot of weights these days, but you think about getting what quantifies or what means getting stronger. Everyone thinks about the good body and how you get strong, but what about the things, what about the days of soreness? What about the days where you don't even want to get out of bed? The days where you need a little bit more sleep, but you know, that's the way it works. You get stronger through that weakness. You get stronger through that soreness. You get stronger through all those struggles and pushing through that again and again and again and believing in your mind leading the way. And I think that it's a longer process than we think. And you can't have even time in your mind. You just have to have your goal. And you have to listen all the time and look at your mistakes and look at yourself honestly. But I think identifying what you love is huge in success. And you might not even think about it. You're like, well, no one's done this before. How can I make a living off of this? Maybe you're not thinking hard enough.
Yeah. Thank you for doing that. And thank you for sharing that. Because I think a lot of people need to hear that. Like, mm-hmm. It's going to hurt.
Yeah.
But it's okay. Look at you now. You're helping other people. And you can transition your knowledge into other people and see their life fruition, right?
Without a doubt. And to me, I mean, I feel like there's so much benefits, and I feel like I'm actually making more of an impact.
Yeah.
You know, when I was fighting, it was a very selfish thing. You know, grateful again for it, but it is a selfish act. It's all about me.
Yeah.
And then as an instructor, it's all about your students and also being very genuine, honest, and thoughtful about your own experiences and trying to pass that on to them and how they can be the best that they can be.
Yeah.
And using your life experiences to go, hey, maybe this is your path. Or let me tell you about some of the mistakes I made. Or let me tell you about some of the good steps that I made that could help you. Or,
yeah.
You know, seeing them succeed, I feel like I'm succeeding as well.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a really fun process.
Yeah, thank you for doing that.
Oh, of
course. You know, man, all those, like, I know my father was my coach, and like, there's so many coaches that help kids that really needs it. You know,
yeah.
It's so important. So I love that, and I love myself to coach kids. It's like to see them, and you get so much inspiration in a way.
Definitely.
I have one last question for you, Kenny, and that is something that I ask all my guests, because at the end of the day, we want them to take action in their own lives.
Mm.
So what would be the first step they can do right after this to get a little bit closer to their dreams?
I think be thoughtful in what makes you feel good and identifying what your true love is. What motivates you? Because, you know, I think, you know, it's like any relationship, whether you have, you know, this dog that you love or this partner that you love or this activity that you love. How do you turn that into a daily practice and to maybe into a job and maybe into a business? It could be as simple as, you know, a dog walking business. It could be, you know, whether you're, you know, into gluten-free living or, you know, whatever. But you see all these businesses everywhere. I mean, all it takes
especially
is
in Venice.
Yeah, exactly, in Venice, right? So there's something for everyone. And and sometimes you think, oh, man, that's such a stupid idea. What is it? I don't know. Maybe not. Who knows? It's how do you get creative with it? We are humans, and we have these amazing brains and these amazing abilities physically, spiritually, mentally. Utilize them. But first, you need to identify what you love and what moves you. What's your call to action, you know?
No, I totally agree. And then something you said earlier, see it through, right? See it through. Stay the course.
Yes.
You know, it's exciting. It's going to hurt sometimes. You might lose one or two battles, but it's a beautiful journey.
Exactly. And again, I think that we're very afraid of doing things first.
Yeah.
Someone's got to do it. Why not you? And that's another thing I always have my students say is, like, you know, why does this person get to be good at jiu-jitsu and not you?
Yeah.
Why not you? Why don't you deserve to be the best?
Yeah.
And I think we need to ask ourselves that question. Why not you? Why can't you be successful? Why can't you be number one? Why can't you be a champion? Why can't you be a successful business owner? You know, maybe no one else is doing it, but maybe that's your opportunity.
Yeah. I love that. Kenny, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
Really appreciate this. And I've been watching you for many years, and it's an honor to kind of dig deeper into the mind of someone, because we forget, like, only you know all the practices you went through when you couldn't get up of bed, like all the injuries, all the suffering, all the victories, like all of those things, only you know that fully. But I think I can feel a little bit with you. So thank you so much for this.
My pleasure, man. Awesome talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for watching and listening to the I Love Success podcast. If you want more conversations like this, check us out at ilovesuccess.co. And if you like this conversation that we just had, help us on our mission to help at least 10 million people by sharing this podcast, giving us a review, and just be on this mission of staying the course, seeing it through, and live a full life. Thank you so much, and talk soon.